Chapter 40. Nyx's garden was exactly how Nico remembered it. The opposite of Persephone's garden. Something beyond death, beyond rot, beyond life. Every branch of every tree and bush was twisted and gnarled like a bad nightmare, and all of it clicked and chittered with the sound of trillions of swarming insects. Small Bob let forth an anguished cry and ran to his friend. Nico followed, overwhelmed by the sight of Bob inside one of those disgusting pods. He dropped to his knees at the base of it. "Bob," he said, "I'm sorry it took me so long." Nico watched Will approach the pod, his hand outstretched. He laid it gently on the bulging surface and hummed. Inside, Bob thrashed about, and Will jerked away. "He's still alive," said Will. "But this isn't like the other pods." Nico wiped the tears off his face and stood. "No, it's not," he said. "Look." He pointed at the transformation. Within the regeneration pod, Bob was not just trying to escape. He was changing. In one moment, he was Iapetus, his orange jumpsuit in tatters, his wild white hair pulled in every direction. He opened his mouth and screamed at Nico and Will, but they couldn't hear anything. Then, in the next moment, Iapetus was torn apart. Will gasped as they both watched. The Titan was nothing more than a soup of flesh and threads, and then he slowly coalesced. His uniform, the one Hades had given him after he'd become Bob, began to stitch itself together. Bob's body formed next, muscles and sinews stretching. And then there he was, his silver hair parted down the middle and softly glowing. "Bob," said Nico, and he placed his hand on the membrane. Bob did the same, and for a moment, they made a connection. "You came," he said. "My sun and star." "Of course I did," Nico replied, unsure what the other part meant. "We shouldn't have left you down here." "I didn't know if you'd heard me crying out to you." Nico laughed. "Well, the prophecy was a nice touch. That made it easier." Bob startled. "What prophecy?" Bob pulled his hand back, and Nico heard his cry of pain as he was torn apart and remade into Iapetus. The Titan screamed in fury. Once he was Bob again, Nico reestablished the connection.
"Get me out of here," Bob begged.
Nico unsheathed his sword and stepped back. "Watch out, Will," he cried. And then he raised his Stygian iron blade and brought it down swiftly on the pulsing membrane of the regeneration pod. The blow promptly bounced off. Nico was thrown back by the force, and he landed on his butt. Hard. "You're kidding me," he screamed. "How is that possible?" He got up quickly, then thrust the point of his blade at the pod. It was like trying to stab concrete. "This doesn't make sense," Nico said, lowering his sword to his side. "How?" "Let me try," said Will, and he raised both his hands and placed them on the pod. He hummed a low melody, which rose in volume. Will stopped for a moment and glanced at Nico. "You should cover your ears." Nico complied after sheathing his sword. Even with his ears plugged, he heard the piercing note that rang from Will's mouth. But still nothing happened. Bob pressed his agonized face against the membrane. His lips were moving, so Nico placed his own hand back against Bob's.
"You need to get out of here. It's dangerous."
"We know," Nico replied. "We know Nyx is behind this." But Bob was shaking his head.
"No, not just her."
This time, Nico spoke aloud. "It's not Nyx?" "What?" said Will in alarm.
"It is," said Bob. "But they're coming. You need to leave."
Nico backed away from the Titan, his heart racing. Will was in his face. "What, Nico? What did he say?" He didn't have time to answer. They felt the rumble beneath their feet, and Nico spun around trying to locate where it was coming from. The dark, bitter garden stood still, except for the leaves that fell from the trees with each roll of thunder. "Nico, what's happening?" said Will, panic on his face. "Is that Nyx?" "He said, they're coming. Whoever they are," said Nico. "We don't have much time. What are we supposed to do?" "I don't know. Those other pods, I broke them by accident when I used my powers, so I don't get why it's not working now. And my sword is Stygian iron. I don't get it either." Bob, now as Iapetus, pressed both of his hands against the side of the pod. He was mouthing something to Nico, and Nico rushed forward, slamming his own hands against the membrane.
"My sun and star," he said again.
"What?" said Nico. "What does that mean?"
"It must be both of you." And the Titan shrieked as he was torn apart again. Bitter, frustrated tears poured down Nico's face. This couldn't be it. This couldn't be how they lost. A terrible roar echoed from somewhere in Nyx's garden.
"Nico, what was he saying?" asked Will. "It must be both of you."
Nico pulled his sword from its sheath at his waist and it glowed. It hummed. There was another roar. It was closer.
"Will, he said it has to be both of us," said Nico.
Will hesitated at first, but an epiphany dawned in him. And his eyes went wide.
"Together," he said.
He reached out and wrapped his hand around Nico's, the one that clutched the hilt of the sword. They pointed it at Bob's regeneration pod, and Will began to sing. It was his mother's song, the one Nico had first heard earlier in this quest. But this time, as each note left Will's mouth and echoed through Nyx's garden, it illuminated him. Will burned with the brightness of 1,000 suns, and that energy passed through Nico, through his Stygian iron blade. Will sang, and Nico burned. He burned like a red giant, a star ready to explode and engulf all of Nyx's realm. The blade grew longer until the tip of it pierced the membrane of the pod, and Nico cried out as he sliced downward, sending goo gushing everywhere as Bob slid out of his fleshy prison, complete with his broom. Nico and Will let go of the sword, which smoked and clattered to the ground. Bob used his wide broom to push himself to his feet, and he coughed up the nasty goo from the pod. Nico and small Bob rushed to his side, not caring that their friend's coveralls were dripping with slime. Nico wrapped his arms around Bob's shoulders and squeezed.
"You're free," he said. "You're free, Bob."
Bob breathed heavily, his whole body shaking. "You listen to me," he said, dropping the broom so he could gather his cat into his arms. "Thank you.
I'm just sorry we didn't get here sooner."
"What about the other one?"
"What?"
Nico pulled back. Bob pointed. Nico turned to see Will doubled over, panting.
"I'm fine," he called out, then stood upright. "Just a little tired."
Will's eyes widened as he looked past Nico. Nico spun around. It was Nyx. Her smoky wings raised in the air and her body swirling with darkness. And Nico could easily imagine that she was wearing the most horrible smile on her void of a face.
"Welcome back, Nico D'Angelo," she said. "I've been waiting for you."
She folded her wings to reveal an army of monsters waiting behind her. Chapter 41. There were Chimera and Basilisks, Cynocephali and Telkines, Dark Pegasi and Pit Scorpions. It was like a Tartarus version of the 12 Days of Christmas. Hypno stepped out from behind Nyx's left wing, and from the other, Nemesis emerged, a sad look on her face.
"Sorry, kid," she said. "Tootie calls."
Every monster Nico had ever encountered and more awaited Nyx's command, snarling and yapping, growling and hissing,
all but one of them. A human-looking person was standing next to one of Nix's vampire horses. He wore a black uniform with red trim, and his gray hair looked exactly as it had the last time Nico had seen him. And this time, he was not a nightmare conjured up by Epiels. Nico's mouth dropped open. Dr. Thorne. His old vice principal from Westover Hall. His accent still thick. His tone still furious. Spat on the ground. I've waited too long for you, he said. You are the last demigod who shall escape me.
No, said Nix, glancing down at him. Now is not the time.
But Dr. Thorne didn't listen. He roared in Nico's direction, and then his body began to change. It all happened so fast. Dr. Thorne's arms and legs became the furry appendages of a lion, and from his rear sprouted an enormous scorpion tail, leathery and brown. He sent numerous missile-like spikes toward Nico, who rolled out of the way just in time.
Oh, I don't think so, said Nix.
Nico watched in horror as she pointed a finger at Dr. Thorne. From it, a dark smoke erupted and surrounded the manticore's body, and then, well, it was like Nix had encased Dr. Thorne in a black hole. The manticore screamed, Come on, I've been planning this revenge for years. Then he folded in on himself and disappeared. Will helped Nico up.
Who was that? He asked. Nico D'Angelo, said Nix, before Nico could answer Will. You succeeded in bringing me another demigod. The brochures must have worked.
Nico raised an eyebrow. The what?
The travel brochures, she said. The last set of demigods who came through here said I wasn't advertising enough, so Hypnos helped me design some to spread throughout the underworld.
Hypnos drifted forward and held out a few leaflets. Nico took one. Across the front of it were the words, So you're thinking of visiting Tartarus. Beneath it was a black rectangle.
What's this? Said Will, pointing to the cover.
That's the pit, said Hypnos proudly. I think it's a rather flattering depiction.
I think it's ridiculous, said Nemesis. Mother, those demigods were making fun of you.
But Nix wasn't hearing it.
We should expect a boost in tourism any day now, she said,
dismissing Nemesis with a wave.
Just you wait and see.
Nico tossed the brochure aside. We're not here to visit. It was as if he hadn't spoken. Nix examined Will's face, and her dress whirled.
You know, I am glad Nico got you here, son of Apollo. Even though I tried to trick you into falling into chaos, how do you mortals put it? You are the cherry on top of the Saturday.
Nemesis hid a laugh and a cough. When Nix glared at her, she shrugged.
Sorry, she said. You know how weak I get when I'm in Tartarus.
It's Sunday, corrected Will, and you'll regret that I'm here once we escape with Bob.
Oh, you have no idea what you've set in motion, Will Solace, said Nix. This will make Nico's sacrifice all the more worthy.
This time, Bob arose. There will be no sacrifice, he said. And Nico could easily imagine him as a Titan. I will walk out of your realm with these two demigods, and you will leave us alone forevermore. Nix laughed, and when she did so, it sent a horrible chill through Nico's body, like his blood had been flash frozen. The stars in Nix's dress sparkled, and Nico found his gaze getting lost in her void.
Fighter, Nico told himself. You can't lose when you're so close to rescuing Bob. You underestimate what I have done, said Nix. You do not understand why I have gathered all of my children here.
You already told me, Nico said through gritted teeth. Will tugged on the sleeve of Nico's bomber jacket.
Nico, let's just leave. We can't win here. Your boyfriend is correct, said Nix. There is no winning here for you. Not only are you outnumbered, Nico D'Angelo, but you will ultimately choose not to fight. Nix took a step forward, and Nico's heart raced. "Impossible," she said. "I would never choose you or this place."
"My darling," said Nix, and she moved closer, her wings fluttering.
"You already have." Nico's sword was at his feet. He bent down and picked it up. It was still warm to the touch after they'd freed Bob. He pointed it at Nix.
"No, I have not," he said. "And now I've got a Titan on my side. Just let us go, Nix. It's the easiest solution."
Nix rolled her eyes. Well, Nico wasn't quite sure that's what she was doing. He felt more than sighed. Still, he could tell she was annoyed, and she waved a hand in his direction.
"Fine, then. Kill the son of Apollo and the Titan."
At her word, the Telkines in the front charged. The sea demons looked a little silly, what with their dog heads, flipper hands, and flopping rhythm as they galloped toward Nico, Will, and Bob. Nico wondered if they knew that. They certainly didn't inspire the kind of fear Nix was hoping for. He kept his sword up, not sure which one he'd attack first, and out of the corner of his eyes, he saw Will bringing his finger up to his lips. Before the Telkines could do any damage at all, Bob stepped forward. He raised his enormous broom high, then swept it to the side. With that one swoop, he managed to smack the Telkine so hard that they flew off into Nix's garden, howling as they sailed through the air.
"You are a bully," Bob said to Nix. "I won't let you hurt my friends."
Without a word from Nix, more monsters charged forward. The basilisk slithered over the ground, and Bob stomped on one of them, grinding his heel into the dirt. Small Bob was now a glowing saber-toothed tiger, roaring and hissing, tearing at the throats of Telkines and wolves. Nico cried out as he brought down his Stygian iron blade and chopped a basilisk in two. He turned and watched as Will slammed a large rock into the head of a snapping cynocephalus.
"Behind me," Nico called to Will. "We have to do it together."
Will's face broke out in a smile, and he twisted out of the path of a manticore's spines. Nico swiped and slashed as Will started singing. Nico felt the notes vibrate in his sword, and he channeled them through the iron until the blade began to glow purple and hum again. He stabbed another basilisk as Bob roared and tossed a blood-red Pegasus at Nix. She didn't even flinch. The creature simply disappeared within the void of her dress. Nico didn't let the disturbing image distract him from the onslaught. He slammed the tip of his blade into the ground.
"I am the Ghost King," he cried,
and the earth erupted beneath him. A hand clawed at the dirt, and then the dead began to pull themselves up, one after the other. Soon, Nix's army was very occupied with the many skeletons that were assaulting them. A rotting human ripped a pit scorpion in half, and Bob used the handle of his broom to impale them both, creating the world's weirdest kebab in the process. Nico pointed his sword at Nix, and smoke rose from the end of it. The purple glow was intact, but it no longer hummed with Will's music.
"Will?"
He turned around to see Will's face twisted in rage.
"I'm sick of you tormenting my boyfriend through his dreams," he cried. "Leave him alone!"
Before Nico could stop him, a ray of light shot out of Will. It crossed the space between him and Nix in an instant, and Nico could tell the primordial goddess was genuinely shocked. The beam hit an upper joint on one of her wings, and she shrieked loudly. Her wing was singed, and she pulled it tighter to her body.
I got her," said Will.
Then he dropped like a sack of potatoes.
"Will!"
Nico sprang forward, but he wasn't quick enough. Will's head smacked the ground, and he groaned, his eyes fluttering.
"Nico," he slurred. "I'm here," said Nico, cradling Will's head with one hand. "I'm not going anywhere."
"No, you're not," said Nix.
And then, just as before, Nico was lifted into the air. His sword fell out of his right hand, and he thrashed against Nix's hold. But it was no use.
"Now,"
she said, twisting Nico around until he stared into those horrible, burning eyes of hers.
"Are you ready to accept your fate?"
"No," he screamed. He shut his eyes tightly, but he couldn't get the image of Nix's non-face out of his thoughts. There's nothing you could say or do that would make me give up my life.
He opened his eyes and saw Will's limp body on the ground on his right. To the left, he saw Bob thrashing and flailing as he was swarmed by pit scorpions. He turned back to face Nix, whose very posture was a promise. She would do anything to force him to stay in Tartarus. Nico's skin tingled all over. He knew that more dead were about to rise. He hoped they'd be enough to at least distract the goddess. But nothing happened. Nix threw back her head in a laugh.
Oh, Nico, you really should have read my brochure, she said, then cackled more. I mean, it literally spells out that there is no greater force of darkness in the world than me. Did you think your paltry trauma and your brooding gothic sensibilities were any match for this?
On the last word, her wings extended. A chariot appeared out of the shadows around Nix, and her two vampire horses whinnied and reared. From the void that was her body, the goddess pulled a whip made of fiercely burning stars. She snapped it toward Bob, and the end of it wrapped around one of his legs. When she yanked it, he flipped over, slamming into the ground.
I am the darkness,
she boomed, and Nico felt like he was being screamed at by a black hole.
And you will never return to a world you don't belong in.
Chapter 42. Nix squeezed. Darkness bloomed in Nico's vision, but only for a moment. There was a loud cry somewhere near him, and then he went tumbling through the air. He slammed into the ground and saw bright flashes, but he knew this might be his only chance to escape Nix. He scrabbled against the earth while gasping for breath, then went straight for Will, who now sat upright, rocking back and forth. Will, he called out, and his boyfriend looked up at him.
I can hear it, Will said.
There was another crash, and Nico turned back to see an enraged Bob tackling Nix. A broom handle was sticking out of her torso. She yanked it out and tossed Bob aside.
You think you can hurt me, you useless titan?
Bob smiled, and small Bob leaped from behind and began to claw Nix's head. The goddess shrieked as she tried to pull off the tiger, and her horses flipped out, bucking and jumping as they too screamed. Nico reached Will and cupped his boyfriend's face in his hands.
Are you okay? I can hear it,
he said again, and tears poured down his cheeks as he pointed behind Nico.
Nico spun around and he cursed himself. He had forgotten. There, beyond the monsters, beyond Nix, beyond Nemesis and Hypnos, was the house, the mansion of night. Even at this distance, Nico could still sense it. It was alive. It spoke to a part of his mind, deep and buried and afraid.
And unfortunately, Will was transfixed by the ever-moving mansion.
It's alive, isn't it?
Nico quickly clamped his hand over Will's eyes. Don't look at it. But Will pushed him away.
It wants me.
Nico removed his hand and stared deeply into Will's eyes.
Don't let this place get to you, he said. That's what Nix wants. She wants me to give myself up, but I made you a promise, Will. I can't, said Will.
And his body went limp in Nico's arms.
Tartarus has drained me, just like you said it would. Then we'll get you out of here. We'll feed you some ambrosia. Only one piece left, remember. Save it for yourself, said Will weakly. He coughed, clutching his chest. I think this is how the prophecy is fulfilled.
Nico tried to lift Will, but he was like an enormous rag doll.
No, this is how it has to happen, said Will.
It's not. Neither one of us is staying here. Nico reached into his pocket and produced the coin.
This isn't you speaking. It isn't the Will Solace I know. You're a child of Apollo. You would never give up this easily.
Will tried to look past Nico to the horrible house that was calling to them both. But then he locked eyes with Nico. And he changed. He slowly reached into the collar of his hoodie and pulled out his chain. There, dangling on the end of it, was Nico's skull ring.
"We made a promise," said Will softly. I remember.
Nico nodded. "Both of us. Get out alive."
"Yes,"
he said. And then Will came back to him, light returning to his blue irises. And then, panic.
"Nico," said Will, paling. "Nico, we can't die here. We just can't."
Nico had never been so happy in his whole life.
"We won't," he said. "But what about Bob?"
Nico glanced back to their friend who was still trying to overpower Nyx, only this time, Hypnos was at her side, his hand raised, trying to will Bob to sleep. It was clearly a lot harder than he'd anticipated, as his features were twisted in frustration. And the other monsters? They weren't doing anything. They were scattered around Nyx's garden, watching the fight unfold with interest, but not moving. Not even Nemesis, who was leaning against a blackened tree, her arms crossed over her chest. She looked exhausted. Why weren't they attacking Nico and Will, who were easy pickings at this point? The other shoe hadn't dropped. What was Nyx planning for them?
"Will," Nico said, standing. "Will, we need to get out of here."
He saw his sword lying on the ground and snatched it up. There was a loud roar behind Nico. They were both shocked to see Bob running toward them.
"We must go," said the Titan.
And small Bob in calico form bounded at his heels.
"This distraction won't last long."
"Distraction?" said Nico. Then he smelled it. Something was burning. To Nico's great horror, the mansion of night was now on fire. Flames lapped at the eaves of the house, and a nightmarish screaming rose in Nico's mind. It was high and piercing, and he knew it came from the burning insects that made up the foundation.
"How did you do that?" shouted Nico, finally yanking Will upright.
"It wasn't me," said Bob, panting.
"Give me the son of Apollo."
Nico handed Will to Bob, who easily hoisted him on his shoulder.
"Go," the Titan screamed. "We must escape now, or we will never leave."
"Say less," said Nico, and with small Bob still at his heels, he ran for the stone gate.
He glanced back to see Nyx wailing at the bonfire as some of her minions struggled to calm her down. Other monsters shrieked along with her, and a pack of cynocephali clutched their dog ears with their hands.
"I feel like I'm floating,"
Will said dreamily, pulling Nico's attention back to their escape. Nico heard Nyx order her army to stop them, but this time he didn't look over his shoulder. Moments later, he passed through the dark entryway. The long path over the pit of chaos seemed even narrower than before, but that was probably because Nico was sprinting across it, desperate to reach the other side and get as far away from this place as possible. Yet he slowed. Ahead of him, there was an eerie glow at the end of the path. Was something else on fire?
"Go!" Bob shouted from behind. "Do not stop, Nico."
No, something was wrong. Nico jogged to the end of the path and absolutely hated what he saw. The earlier inconsistency finally made sense. The first time he'd found Nyx's realm, he had stumbled upon it out of a dark and starless forest. The second time, he and Will had discovered it in the middle of a clearing. And now, Nico was standing at the edge of a cliff, looking down upon the convergence of two rivers. One was absolutely the Phlegethon, and it was the source of the unnerving glow. The other, he knew, was the Cocytus, the River of Lamentation. The two rivers flowed down toward the Pit of Chaos, then smashed into one another about 50 feet from where Nico stood. The sound was horrible, pain and punishment clashing, the heat of the Acheron meeting the frigid waters of the Cocytus and hissing. They slammed against the cliffside, and as they did so, Nico could hear the souls trapped in them, crying out, begging for respite, beckoning to Nico to jump in. "It moves," Nico said softly, and he backed away from the cliff's edge. Bob set Will down next to Nico, panting.
"What did you say?"
"It moves,"
he repeated. Nyx's realm. It's never in the same spot in Tartarus. That's why it's so hard to find. That's convenient,
groaned Will, whose skin was deathly pale.
Hopefully we'll never have to find it again.
The four of them stared down at the converging rivers in a collective silence of dread.
We must go in,
Bob said matter-of-factly.
In there? Said Will. Do we have to?
I don't know that we have any other choice, grumbled Nico. It'll be awful, but not impossible.
This quest has involved a lot of falling, said Will. I would like to be on solid ground for the rest of my life after this.
Bob picked up small Bob and rubbed his face against the cat's head.
I miss you, my friend. Are you ready?
Small Bob mewed, and for a moment, warmth filled Nico's heart. Here was Bob the Titan, alive and reunited with his friends.
They had done it, and then Nico
was immediately reminded that no, they had not, in fact, completed the quest. Nyx's furious shrieks split the air around them, and Tartarus cracked with thunder. Fear tore through Nico's body as he watched smoke pour out of the stone archway across the pit. And soon Nyx and her chariot materialized in the endless darkness above the rivers. Her vampire horses pulled her forward, and once they made landfall on the cliffside, she seamlessly stepped from the dissolving chariot. Her starry whip cracked alongside her, and in her eyes, Nico saw rage. The rage of dying stars, the rage of the darkest night, the rage of destruction. How dare you, she screamed, and her voice shook the very belly of Tartarus. You think you can hurt me?
I don't care what you think or what you do, Nyx, said Bob defiantly. You will let me and the demigods leave without any more interference.
After you set fire to my home? She yelled. With a flick of her wrist, her two vampire horses came forward. Shade, shadow, if any of them so much as twitch, devour them.
Your quarrel is not with us, said Bob.
Then he pointed behind her. Why don't you ask one of your children what really happened? Nico saw that Hypnos and Nemesis had also made the crossing, and they were joined by a third sibling, the now regenerated Epiels.
Don't try to distract me, said Nyx. You have nowhere to go. I will capture you again, and I will force all of you to choose.
All this talk of choosing is so boring, said Nico, mustering all the strength he had left to appear truly disinterested. You did all this to force Bob to choose to be a Titan? Give it up, Nyx. You're never going to succeed.
He can never stop being Iapetus, she screeched. This new name, this new personality, it's all a lie.
She's right, Nico, said Bob.
What? Said Nico and Will in unison.
About the first part, he said. I can never stop being a Titan. It is a piece of my past.
Then Bob, with Small Bob growling at his side, stepped toward Nyx.
But what Nyx does not know is that it is possible to change, he said. Because she never has. She has spent eternity as the Queen of Darkness, the Protogenos of Night.
He turned to address her directly.
Has it never occurred to you to be anything different?
Why would I be? Nyx snarled. I am perfect as I am. The entirety of existence requires me. What would the world be without Night?
And so you trapped Bob? Yelled Nico over the roar of the clashing rivers. The cliff's edge was way too close for comfort. Just because you don't want to change doesn't mean everyone else shouldn't either. How does that make any sense?
How does it make any sense that no matter what obstacle was thrown at you, you still came here to Tartarus, knowing this was a trap?
Countered Nyx. Nico's stomach flopped like a fish on a hook.
What? You and your boyfriend have known throughout your entire journey that this was a trap, she said. And yet you still came. You still fought my children when they tried to stop you.
Hey, you told me to do it, said Epiels, shuffling forward, their appendages pulled close to their body.
Be quiet, child, barked Nix.
Epiels shrank back.
You persisted, Nico, continued Nix. Because it is in your nature, you are drawn to the darkness. You are drawn to others in pain. It is all you know.
Nico swallowed his fear. It's not all I know, he said. But even he had to admit he didn't sound too convincing. Nix lowered her wings and glided forward. Nico instinctively took a step back, then stopped. He looked over his shoulder. The edge of the cliff was way too close.
As you cower before me, said Nix, you know I am right.
Remember what you told me, said Will, gripping Nico's hand tightly.
Don't listen to her or this place, Nico. We'll find a way out. Even if you do, Nico D'Angelo isn't leaving, she said. Isn't that right, my child?
I'm not your child, Nico seethed. My mother is Bianca D'Angelo, and she loved me and my sister.
And where are they now?
It was like she had slapped him across the face.
Don't give in to her, he thought.
And he felt Will squeeze his hand again.
It's what she wants.
Still, Nico couldn't stop the tear that rolled down his cheek.
They're dead, he said. They have been for a while.
And it burns you up inside, doesn't it?
She moved closer, and Bob took a step in front of Nico.
No more, he said, and he gritted his teeth. No more.
But Nix ignored him.
I reached out to you through your dreams, she said, speaking directly to Nico. Do you remember what I told you? What I asked of you?
To listen,
Nico said. We figured that out long ago, Nix. We know you were goading me down here. She shook her head.
That wasn't all I said.
Then she looked at Will. He braced himself next to Nico.
What is she talking about?
Nico had forgotten. He'd never told anyone about that part. It seemed like such an inconsequential detail. He repeated the words from the dream he'd had the night before leaving on this quest. The same words that had come from the mouth of Cupid in the image of Will.
When the time comes, tell me the truth.
Well, Nico, said Nick, smiling. When are you going to tell him the truth? When are you going to tell him that you doubt it all?
Terror spiked Nico's heart.
What?
Nico, what does she mean?
Asked Will in alarm.
I don't know, he said.
Yes, you do,
said Nix, her voice slimy.
You know what you feel in your heart. You know you don't belong in the world above. You never will.
She is trying to confuse you as she tried with me, said Bob, still standing his ground in front of Nico. She tried to torture me into making another decision. But Nico, she couldn't break me. Do you know why?
Why?
Said Nico, his pulse racing.
Because I called out to someone I knew would listen, he said.
And he reached down to pet the top of Small Bob's head.
I told Small Bob that one day a boy would come down here looking for me, and that he was to guide you to me. I knew you would hear me.
Small Bob meowed, then leaped up and climbed the sleeve of Bob's uniform to sit on his shoulder.
As long as I live, said Bob,
I will fight for you, Nico D'Angelo. Nix can never have you.
Nix yawned, then glanced back at her three children.
It's so touching, isn't it? She said. They think they can change what I've set in motion.
It seems futile, said Hypnos. Shall I put them all to sleep?
Nix shook her head.
No. They need to be awake for the last piece.
I can give them a good nightmare, said Epiels.
Nix groaned.
I said no, Epiels.
The demon grimaced and slunk back again, this time hiding behind Nemesis. Nico examined her face, but there was no expression on it. Nemesis had helped him before.
Why wasn't she doing anything now?
Just give up, Nix, said Will. You and your children will never be able to stop us.
Maybe not,
said the Queen of Darkness, and her gown swirled about her as she floated backward. Her chariot returned, and two reins appeared and looped around the necks of Shade and Shadow.
But I think Nico's will.
Nico's world spun.
What did you just say?
I
am the mother, said Nix. Haven't you heard? I can create demons of anything I want.
He sensed them before he saw them. It was the same sensation he'd felt on the stairs past the door of Orpheus and on the plains overlooking Erebos. He recalled the passage through the stone cliffs as they passed down the Acheron. Will asleep at his feet, all those eyes observing him. Now shadows moved out from behind Nix's chariot, and he saw them again. Those eyes, they glowed. There were so many of them. 10, 20, he wasn't sure. At first, they looked like little blotches and smudges, like someone had taken a brush with black paint and dabbed it against a canvas. But as they got closer, Nico saw arms, legs, spikes. Some had protuberances from their backs. Another had tusks jutting from the sides of its mouth. Yet another had something like antlers growing from its head, its body long and sleek like an otter. They approached with jerky, unsure movements, hesitant to be near Nico, and he felt his knees go weak, his stomach pitch downward. He could hear Will next to him, asking him what was going on, but Nico couldn't answer, couldn't do anything but fall to his knees as the shadow creatures snapped at one another, jostled and shoved and snarled, and Nix seemed to tower over them all.
Nico, she said, you should finally meet your children.
Chapter 43. I literally do not understand what's happening, said Will, and he knelt in front of Nico. What are those? She can't be serious about the whole children thing, can she? Nico swayed. This can't be real. But it was. Bob raised his broom.
I can destroy them in a heartbeat, he said. Just give me the word, Nico.
But the son of Hades rose quickly, his hands up.
No, he cried. You can't. Why not?
Said Will, his eyebrows stitched together in confusion. Nico, we have to leave.
You know what they are, don't you?
Said Nix softly, and she cast her gaze down upon the baby demons at her feet. Nico looked up at her face. A fragment of a memory struck him then. He had no context, no details, just a gut feeling that he'd seen this before. Maria D'Angelo staring at him like this when he was much, much younger.
Cacko demons, he said.
Cactus what? Said Will.
I told you about them, said Nico. That's what Nix creates. Cacko demons.
Oh, right, he said.
Her children, personifications of negative emotions and feelings.
Nico glanced over at Nix's other children, Hypnos, who could put anyone to sleep in an instant, Epiels, who had filled both Nico's and Will's minds with the most horrible of nightmares, Nemesis, who was obsessed with retribution. And now, she made more, said Nico.
I can see that, said Will. From me.
Will's mouth dropped open. I'm sorry, what?
You knew without me having to tell you, said Nix.
She lowered herself to the ground and contracted until she was just barely taller than Nico.
You knew exactly what they were.
Nico stepped forward, past Bob's objections to get a better look at the Cacko demons that trailed Nix like she was leading a parade.
I made one from each terrible dark part of you, she said,
then nodded down at the closest one, the one with gnarled antlers on its head.
Go ahead. Meet your children.
Nico.
Don't,
begged Will.
Let's just leave, okay? No, he said. No, I can't abandon them.
He stuck out his hand. The horned Cacko demon skittered forward, its pupilless eyes glowing.
It pressed its nose into his palm and sniffed him. And memories flashed in Nico's mind. Camp Half-Blood, the dining pavilion. Percy, she wanted you to have this. The forest outside camp, the pit in his stomach, Jason. Nico jerked back and fell on his butt. The caco demon skittered away. He looked up to Nyx, tears in his eyes.
What have you done? I sent you visions, she said. As soon as I realized it was you Bob was trying to reach, I knew I had a chance to communicate with you as well and encourage you to accept your true nature.
Another caco demon approached, this one with a single eye like a cyclops and paws like a wolf. It licked Nico's fingers.
The lid of the jar, the palm seats, the loneliness. I knew you wouldn't be able to resist the call of your worst memories. That's who you are, Nico D'Angelo. You are a demigod made up of trauma. Your very soul is one of darkness.
A third caco demon, the one with tusks, pounced and landed at Nico's feet. It rubbed its head against his leg. Percy smiles at Annabeth. Will stares at Paolo's big biceps.
You proved my theory right with every step you took toward this place,
Nyx crowed. The second you entered the underworld, our new children were born. She knelt and touched each of the caco demons, naming them as she did so.
Grief,
she said, her hand gracing the demon with the antlers.
Guilt?
That one had legs like a spider, and its touch brought forth images like Nico lashing out at Percy or allowing Octavian to die. Sadness was a shapeless blob that showed him Maria, Bianca, the Lotus Hotel, and lonely nights in the forest surrounding Camp Half-Blood. Jealousy was the one with tusks, who reminded Nico of how often he coveted the lives of others.
Isolation.
A caco demon with one glowing eye sent Nico right back to the jar.
Shame.
A cat-like caco demon with needle-sharp teeth and claws scratched at his leg, and he thought of Cupid. Cupid and Jason. There were many others, but Nico couldn't handle any more. A rage built in him. Or was it shame? Shame because every single trauma had been trotted out before him, quite literally for all to see. Guilt because maybe, just maybe, Nyx was right. Or maybe his rage came from the fact that she had it all wrong. Nico pressed his hands against the cliffside, and the ground rumbled. He heard rocks fall behind him and splash into the colliding rivers below.
Accept it, ordered Nyx. Accept that you prefer the darkness. You prefer suffering. You know it is true. Your own children prove it. Stop denying your nature.
No, Nico said simply and without emotion. He rose. The earth trembled. A bony hand thrust out of a crack in the stone.
You have no idea who I am, he said.
And then he drew his sword and charged Nyx. Chapter 44. Will watched as Nyx revealed Nico's demons, and he wished his suspicions hadn't been right. He remembered hearing something on the steps descending from the door of Orpheus. But like Nico, he had convinced himself that his overactive and frankly terrified imagination was running wild. But now, staring at the pack of tiny demons as they approached his boyfriend, Will's whole mind was screaming at him. This felt wrong, like something he shouldn't be seeing. What Nyx had done to Nico was horrifying. Everyone had their own personal demons and traumatic events in their history. But this, she had made them real. She had brought them to life. And now Nico didn't even have the choice to keep them to himself. But Will had no idea what he should do. Attack Nyx? Grab Nico and jump into the roaring rivers below? He was generally pretty good at strategy, but he felt completely out of his element here.
Accept it, said Nyx. Accept that you prefer the darkness. You prefer suffering. You know it is true. Your own children prove it. Stop denying your nature.
Will looked to Nico, and he watched as his boyfriend's face settled. He knew that expression, and he knew what Nico was about to do. He backed up, and when Nico said no to Nyx, Will saw the cracks in the ground appear and begin to spread. Nico was about to raise the dead. There was a part of Will that would always be unnerved by this display. But at that moment, as the Kakko demon scattered, he felt an immense pride. Nico was refusing Nyx's manipulation. He was fighting back. "You have no idea who I am," said Nico. Will's boyfriend drew his glowing blade in one swift movement, and before Will could do anything, Nico charged. He swung his sword down in front of Shadow, and the horse reared up in shock. When it did, the ground underneath Nyx's vampire horse split open, and the dead raged forth.
"Nico's fight invigorates me," said Bob, pressing an open palm to his chest. "Come, son of Apollo, let us lay waste to Nyx."
Will wasn't sure about laying waste to anyone, particularly Nyx's children, who were all now backing up and away from their mother rather than defending her against Nico. But as he watched Bob scream, his broom raised in the air, his cat changing back into a saber-toothed tiger, Will was energized too. He was the son of Apollo. He had survived in the underworld without the sun. He was one of only four demigods ever to travel to Tartarus. And now, here was Nico D'Angelo, the boy he'd fallen in love with, fighting to return to the mortal world. It all came to Will so suddenly then. Nico might have been born to Hades. He might have suffered untold amounts of pain and sorrow. He was at home in darkness. But that didn't mean that he couldn't choose the alternative. Will knew that for a fact, because Nico burned brightly as he fought Nyx, as he dodged her tendrils of smoke and hacked at her body. There was a ferocity in him, a power and a fury that could scorch the galaxy when he battled for those he cared for. And he was now using it to fight for himself. Even in the darkest parts of life, there was still light. Like the plants in Persephone's garden. Like Menites' love for Geryon. Like the ingenuity and loyalty of the troglodytes. And no light was brighter than Nico D'Angelo. But what could Will himself do? He had no weapons. He wasn't good with a bow and arrow. He felt as if there wasn't a drop of power left in him. Well, maybe he had to come up with his own alternative. Maybe it was his turn to find a little darkness within. Will screamed at Nyx so loud and so fierce that she actually snapped her head in his direction, and Nico's Kakko demons fled in terror once more, seeking refuge in the shadows.
"Leave him alone," Will shouted.
And then he ran. He had no real plan. He just had anger. Will let that rage propel him forward, and he reached inside himself to find darkness. He knew loneliness, like on the nights when he'd stood at the back of a club while his mother performed. He'd experienced fear. He'd felt jealousy. He was a child of the god Apollo, and so, with all those feelings close to the surface, Will tapped into his father's power and did something he had never done in his life. He gave his enemy hay fever. Nyx began to sneeze violently, and she swatted at herself. Soon, mucus poured out of her. Well, Nyx didn't have a nose, but the fluid was coming out of something.
"What have you done?"
she cried out, then sneezed again, sending more snot flying.
"Gross," said Will.
"Cover your void when you sneeze, please." Nyx snarled and let loose a command.
"Children, attack!"
Will never made it to Nyx. The first Kakko demon, Will couldn't see which one, collided with his right leg, which sent him flying. He smacked into the ground, stars bursting in his vision as the air left his lungs. But soon there was another Kakko demon, this one with enormous tusks, and it pounced on his chest and snapped at his face. Will did his best to keep it from biting him, but then there was another and another and another. They swarmed him, tearing at his hoodie, and one finally did clamp its jaw over his left hand. He screamed and flung it off as blood welled to the surface of the bite. All he could see was the darkness of their bodies. All he could hear was Nyx laughing. This was it. He'd failed. He'd failed them all. He was going to stop.
Chapter 45. Nico didn't know if it was going to work.
but something Nix had said triggered the idea. Your own children prove it. If Nix could command the Kako demon she created, he had to try it too. Nico held up his free hand toward Will and the swarming Kako demons, then issued the command, "Stop!" There was no hesitation. Immediately, every Kako demon froze. Then they turned back to face him. Nix roared,
"No!"
She screamed,
"Attack the demigod now!"
The Kako demon swiveled between Nix and Nico. Then they climbed off Will and scampered over to his boyfriend. Will clutched his bleeding hand to his chest.
"Nico," he said, "you're that. Oh, Apollo, I can't believe this."
The Kako demon stared at Nico, their glowing white eyes open wide, eager for his next command.
"They obey you," Bob said in awe as he reached down and helped Will to his feet.
"They do," said Nico, and he examined them. They all looked slightly different from one another. They were unique, even if they seemed to be made of the same swirling darkness as Nix. Unique and his. He rose. He faced Nix. The words came from his mouth from memory. "Go forth and find the one who calls out your name, who suffers and despairs for refusing to remain. There, leave something of equal value behind, or your body and soul no one will ever find." "I don't care about your silly poetry, child," Nix hissed. "Kneel before me and admit I am right. I will encase you in the same prison as Iapetus if I must."
"No, you won't," said Nico.
"This is a quest, and you didn't account for me fulfilling it my way." "A quest?"
The air temperature around Nix dropped.
"I do not assign quests. This was a trap, one you walked directly into."
"Yes, and that was my choice," said Nico. "Bob is my friend, and I was always going to try to save him." Will limped to Nico's side, and Nico took his hand.
"Will was always going to come with me."
And then he looked up at Bob's beautiful face and smiled. "And we would find the third person to be part of our quest." Small Bob meowed.
"Okay,
maybe four," said Nico. "Do ghost cats count toward quest numbers?" Will asked.
"I don't know, I think Small Bob is the first cat to ever be part of one."
"Stop your blathering," shrieked Nix.
"Children, attack them!"
The Kako demons remained still at Nico's feet, and so did Nix's other children.
"No," said Nemesis, and she buffed her nails on her motorcycle jacket.
"I'd rather not," said Epiels, shaking their head.
Hypnos yawned. "I don't really see the point."
Nix swung her whip around her, then cracked it at Nemesis.
"You are the goddess of vengeance, child. Will you not fulfill my vengeance?"
Nemesis shrugged.
"You forget that I am more than that, mother."
"No, you are not."
Nemesis unzipped her red leather jacket and let it fall to the ground. As she did so, her eyes blazed. And then she changed. Seconds later, the spitting image of Zeus towered over Nix.
"I am also the goddess of balance, Nix," she cried, her eyes glowing brighter. "Vengeance is about balance. There is no retribution without it."
She raised a hand, and out of the shadow she pulled her own whip.
"What balance is restored by imprisoning the Titan?"
She cracked the whip, and Nix actually flinched.
"What balance is preserved by forcing Nico to remain here? How is it fair for you to take his deepest, darkest fears and traumas and give them life?"
Nix sputtered but was unable to speak. Nemesis returned to her original form, then spat on the ground.
"I am not one to be ordered around," she said. "I only help those who need me, and you definitely don't."
"Hypnos!"
Nix screamed.
"Send them all into slumber, and you, Epiels, curse them with nightmares."
The minor god and the demon traded a quick look.
"Nah, I'm good," said Hypnos. "I don't see how that would help." You dare defy me?
She glared at Epiels.
And what do you have to say for yourself?
At least the demigods appreciate my talents, they said, then turned their back on Nyx.
Ah!
Screamed Nyx, wheeling around to face Nico again.
I don't need them. I will make you choose on my own, Nico.
No, you won't, Mother. Nemesis lashed out with her whip, and it wrapped around Nyx's waist as she cried out, Hypno stepped forward.
You only use me as a weapon, he said. A tool. You can't see what else I'm capable of.
He shook his head.
You won't let me be anything else, which is why you didn't notice when I set your mansion on fire.
Hypnos raised his right hand in front of his mother's face as she thrashed about, as she shrieked in rage, and then Nyx slowed. Her eyes flicked open, closed, open again.
What are you doing to me? Nyx said. I am the goddess of night. You cannot hold me down.
Epiels drifted over to their mother, their appendages spreading out from their body.
We know we can't, the demon said.
But we can at least buy the demigods and the titans some time.
No!
Nyx screamed, but the word came out sluggishly, as if her mouth was full of tar. Epiels looked to Nico.
Thank you for helping us realize the truth, too. I will get you, Nico, slurred Nyx. I will force you to choose.
You misunderstood me, Nyx, said Nico, approaching her. You keep saying I need to choose the darkness, but I already have. I'm not afraid of my past anymore, and you helped me realize that. I can't ever escape from what's happened to me, but I can learn to live with it. Will was so proud he felt like he might erupt like a solar flare. Nico shook his head at the goddess. You want me to be controlled by my darkness? Just like you thought you could control my. He groaned. Yeah, this word was going to be a problem.
My cacodemons.
Will sighed as he stepped up beside Nico. The term doesn't exactly trip off the tongue, does it?
I think it's cute, said Bob. Like small Bob, who promptly meowed.
So this is how I fulfill the prophecy, Nico said to Nyx. I'm tired of constantly trying to fight my own demons, and now you've given me my answer. He turned around, and the pack of caco demons scurried up to Nico, waiting for their next command. First of all, he said, kneeling, I can't keep calling you caco demons. It's the worst. And I would also feel very weird naming you after whatever memory you remind me of. The caco demon with the antlers cooed at Nico, then lowered its head to the ground. So a little bit of renaming, he continued. What if I called you my Cocoa Puffs?
Cocoa Puffs, said Bob.
They're quite delicious, said Will, and he put his hand on Nico's shoulder. And it's the perfect name for them.
Nico reached down to the antlered Cocoa Puff, who jerked away at first. Finally, the demon stayed still and let Nico touch it. It was odd. A very odd sensation. Soft, but without any substance. Like somehow, Nico was petting smoke. And then images floated up in his conscious mind. Jason Grace, dead. Leo, dead. Bianca, dead. This one. The Cocoa Puff of Grief. Howled softly. I have to leave something of equal value behind, said Nico. And I think it's time I left my demons behind. So I'm not going to control you, Cocoa Puffs. I am not going to order you around. Nyx granted you life, and I'm giving it back to you. You get to make your own choices now. The Cocoa Puff squeaked and growled as they looked at one another.
I know, that's scary, Nico continued. The scariest thing in the world is that we have to make our own decisions. But you don't deserve to live a life without that option. So, I'm setting you free.
The Cocoa Puff with teeth and claws like needles approached next, and Nico scratched it behind the ears. He stood across from Cupid, and his face burned with shame. Nyx groaned loudly.
I'll get you, Nico D'Angelo, she slurred.
Go, said Nemesis, pulling her whip tight. It's only a matter of time before she breaks away from us.
Nico nodded at all three of Nyx's children, then stood. He looked to Will, whose eyes were red with tears, and Bob, who was sniffling.
Don't be dramatic, said Nico, rolling his eyes.
Let's go. The four of them moved toward the edge of the cliff, and dread hit Nico once again. They were still way too high up.
I literally forgot we had to jump into that, said Will. At least the Acheron could heal us a bit, right?
Not here, said Bob, shaking his head. The Cacitus is too potent. It is a river of hopelessness.
You might be healed, said Nico, but you'd never move again. The despair would be too great.
Nyx groaned again, and this time it was louder. Nico glanced back at her struggling form and saw that Hypnos and Epiels were doubled over.
Go! Screamed Nemesis.
Nico gazed down at the rivers.
How exactly are we going to do this?
Like this, said Bob.
And before either of them could protest, he snatched them all up and clutched them to his chest. A moment later, he leaped off the edge, and Nico couldn't help but scream as they fell down, 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 and hit the combined waters of the Acheron and the Cocytus. The currents rushed over him. Nico felt too many things at once. The frigid, icy water on his skin, the screams and lamentations of the dead, those who believed there was no point to existence anymore, the hopelessness, the grief, the overbearing, all-encompassing sadness, the desperate desire to live. The fear that this was it, this was what would finally take him out.
Nico resurfaced and gasped for air, and soon he felt chilled through and through, like he'd become one giant ice cube.
Bob moved Nico to one shoulder, even though Nico barely fit there. As his teeth chattered, Nico saw that Will was shivering on Bob's left shoulder. Small Bob clung furiously to his Titan friend's head.
Would I love to never do that again, Will stuttered.
Hold on, said Bob, and a little sob broke out. This is the hard part.
He was standing upright in a rushing river, and then he started wading. His steps splashed in the converging rivers, and he grunted every so often as if the currents were trying to hold him back. Nico was in awe, for the water had to be tormenting Bob continuously, reminding him of all he'd done throughout his long, long life. But the Titan didn't stop. He pressed on, leaning slightly forward to give himself momentum. Bob strode toward the far bank, each step methodical and precise. He was deep in concentration, tears pouring down his face. Or was that sweat? Both, probably. So Nico leaned over and kissed Bob on the temple. We love you, Bob, he said. Whatever the river is telling you, fight it. Bob smiled.
Thank you, Nico, he said. But I do not need your assistance. I shall not be sacrificing myself today. I would very much like to leave Tartarus and never come back.
With that, he let out a whoop of laughter, and he pushed forward, the currents racing perpendicular to the direction he walked.
I'm free, he screamed. I'm free.
Will was chuckling too, and it was an infectious sound. Nico didn't even realize until then how much he had missed the sound of his boyfriend laughing. He had missed a lot of things. Bob finally lifted his right foot out of the rivers and stepped onto the bank. He nearly fell over as he did, but he steadied himself at the last second, then pulled his other leg from the water. The Titan cried out in joy and quickly set the demigods on the ground. But the success was short-lived, because an out-of-breath Nemesis was standing right in front of Nico. He practically jumped out of his clothing.
Don't do that, he said. Like, give a warning or something.
No time,
she said, her chest rising and falling. She's free. You need to go now.
Nemesis raised her hand toward upstream and squeezed her eyes shut tight.
I have the power of Tychokinesis.
Tyson chicken? Said Will. She glared at him.
The ability to shift someone's luck.
That makes more sense than frozen chicken, he said, grinning.
Well, you will all need it, she said. Getting out of here, it won't be pleasant. You'll have to ride the Acheron until it circles back to the top of the underworld.
We know, said Nico. But how? To Nico's great surprise, a boat rounded the bend upstream. Gorgira's white canoe.
Promise me something,
said Nemesis, sweat pouring down her face. For a minor god, she looked awful, which made Nico remember that she couldn't spend much time in Tartarus.
Promise me, he'll never come back to this place.
Oh, I'm ready to swear that on the Styx, said Will. Don't worry, said Nico. Two trips to Tartarus is two trips too many. The corner of her mouth turned up.
It's just that, well, luck won't be on your side if there is a next time.
And then, just like Nico did when he shadow traveled, she folded herself into darkness. Bob reached out and snagged the bow of Gorgira's boat.
Where did this come from?
It's a long story, said Nico. But right now, we just need to get in.
Will climbed in first, and Bob and Small Bob hopped in next. The Titan shrank down as he did to fit inside the narrow canoe. Nico finally vaulted over the gunwale. Bob used the handle of his broom to push them off the bank, and the boat began to drift quickly down the rivers.
Did we do it? Said Will, collapsing against one of the wooden benches. Did we really escape her?
No sooner had he finished speaking than Nyx's screech tore through Tartarus. Nico spun around and looked up at the cliff's edge above them. One smoky tendril snaked over the side, and another. Then the rest of Nyx leaped into the air, plummeted, and slammed down onto the riverbank across from them.
No,
he thought. Nyx spread her wings wide, and the void on her dress grew. The impenetrable darkness swelled and lashed out from her body, and Nico watched in horror as skeletal bushes and stones were sucked up into it. She had become an enraged black hole, and she was heading right for them.